Good morning. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Dagg. I will be teaching this morning. And I just wanted to welcome you all here this morning. Right now there's no one in the congregation because of we kind of postponed any face-to-face teaching this weekend because of challenges we've had with regards to COVID. In our congregation, we just want to be discerning and smart about that, not fearful. We do not fear this disease. What we do is listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and what we should be doing, and prayerfully, thinking about and making decisions. So for y'all that are online, welcome, and we are glad to have you here this morning. We were just talking, Brian and Julie are here, and thank you for your faithfulness in keeping this thing up and running, and for the music. We were just talking that we continue to expand our online presence with regards to folks that are pinging our website. So to you all in China, I have no idea how to say in Chinese welcome, but we are glad to have you. To y'all in Russia, we're glad to have you. To y'all any place in the world, we are glad to have you, and look forward to, we are in prayer for you all, as we are for this country, and we do ask for your prayers for our country as well. Lots going on. Let's start by preparing our minds for action. Take a moment to think about the things that are in your way, to see if your faith is in the filling of is in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, so that as we open the Word this morning, these things will be profitable. Father, thank you for this time together this morning, and we thank you for the message getting out. We thank you and are humbled that people from all over the world have the opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel and hear the truth of your word. Father, I pray this morning as I open your word and try to teach this morning that I will stay out of your way and allow your Spirit to talk through me this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country. And we just thank you for your Son and the promises and the blessings that are given to us at salvation. In Christ's name, amen. So, I think we're going to skip the singing this morning. Is that right? Okay. Because it's the three of us and y'all do not want to hear us be recording. Well, I should say me specifically. And so Julie and Brian, if y'all want to get up and do a duet, that's awesome, but I'm going to bow out on that one. Pastor Maddox, you would be proud that I don't sing very well either. But we do have a lot of prayer requests. Hopefully, if you all would like to get on the prayer request list, if you're not on it, please send Leslie an email with that request, or just let us know one way or another how to add you to that list. But lots of prayers. Hopefully the 45 minutes of round trip this morning that y'all couldn't make because we are not doing things in person, that you can take 30 of those and spend some time in prayer this morning. That would be awesome, because lots of stuff going on. Wanted to give some praise to our Lord. Cameron found a job and is working at Capital One. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that online, but that's where he is working, and we're excited about that. Please continue to be in prayer for my brother-in-law, Eric, as he continues to look for a job. I think some of the looking and the being out of work for a while adds a lot of stress to a lot of things, so be in prayer for his continued health as well. And our friend Ray, who comes every week, and we get a chance to talk to Ray and see Ray and worship with him. Please continue to pray for Ray finding a job. He is definitely looking to find something to bring in some income. Lots of folks that we want to lift up in prayer with regards to health. Tish and the challenges that she's had, I guess they've postponed the surgery, is my understanding. You know what? I'm going to just retract any statements. I don't have the latest update on who's doing what on these. Please be in prayer for Tish with regards to her shoulder and pain and other things physically. Please be in prayer for Terry, Rick, and Thomas. I know they are dealing with a battle of the COVID. And specifically for Thomas, y'all, Thomas, has had many years now post cancer of relatively good health, but he's still compromised from the battle that he had when he was a teenager. And so please be in prayer for Thomas that that he can continue to move forward with his schooling and stay healthy. Please be in prayer for Nick. He has his ups and down days. I'd say generally speaking, he's maybe 80%, still needs some strength to continue to improve. Please be in prayer for Jeff Langston, kidneys or back pain or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but that the doctors can figure out what's going on there. Pastor Maddox, be in prayer for Pastor Maddox. We had the pleasure of Pastor Maddox doing our communion service last week, which was awesome. So excited about him starting to get up behind the pulpit here and having the opportunity to teach, and looking forward to that day where he comes back here and with his booming, resounding voice can teach us the Word of God. And that's an exciting thing to look forward to in God's plan and in God's timing. And please be in prayer for Judith as well as she continues to work with Pastor Maddox to recover and get through all of these things. Prayers for Kit and Phil and myself as we try to fill the shoes. Thankfully, we don't have to fill the shoes. The Spirit is the one that has the shoes. And so we will just try to stand up here and do the best that we can and be filled with the Spirit and teach the truth. But please be in prayer that those things will continue. And let's see. Okay, a couple of announcements for y'all. Veterans Day celebration. This is an opportunity for us to get outside in Allen. Lots of space. It's Celebration Park next Sunday at 3 o'clock. This is going to be a Veterans Day celebration. We would love for y'all to join us. You can wear masks. You can stand 20 feet away. There's lots of space. Please come out and join us. Celebration Park next Sunday at 3 p.m. We will have some speakers. We'll have some things that will be. We'll have a balloon release for veterans. So if you have not written in and gone on and filled out the form, I think it's on our main page of our church website. It's $5 to buy a balloon to put a veteran on there, and we'll call out their name and then we do a balloon release. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. It's also a moment of time to remember all those that have served in preserving the freedom that we have in this country. So please join us with that. All of the proceeds from that support the youth ministry so that we can continue to have our churches and our camps and our spring retreats, as well as our youth ministry, continuing to support the youth ministry across the board. And as I look back, it's cool. Now I see what Pastor Maddox was talking about when this fall first came down. I still have a congregation of youth that are standing here looking at me because we have 60-some pictures on the back walls that look at us while we're teaching. So nobody else is in here. So it's pretty cool. Please support our youth ministry. And I will be coming out with an update on our finances here probably right after Thanksgiving to kind of set the stage for fundraising for the remainder of the year for the youth program. So, and last but never least, donations. We have a nice building. It's modest, but it's wonderful. It's our church building. We have the technology and all that goes into getting the message out over the internet. We have bills to pay. We have people to take care of. We have things to do. And so your donations, you can go online through PayPal. The link, I'm sure, is here by now. Please, as God leads you, be in prayer for how you can financially support this ministry across the board. It takes lots of money. It's crazy how much money it takes to keep all this stuff going. But God always provides and always has. And as long as He does, we will continue to be faithful to teaching the Word. With that being said, any other announcements? Anything? I haven't got any texts. My phone isn't blowing up saying, "Hey, do this," or anything. So let's jump into let's pray together and then jump into the Word. Heavenly Father, we have lots of prayer requests. We have a small church, but a big impact because of your leading, your Spirit, your power. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask those that are in need, whether it's a job or just financially or otherwise, that Father, you'll provide guidance to us as a church, to us as a ministry, and to them in discerning where we can be of most help. But Father, we lift them up in prayer to you. We pray for Eric, and we pray for Ray to find jobs so that they can continue to move forward in the things they need to do. Father, lots of prayer requests with regards to health. So we lift all of those up to you. You know the specific conditions and situations that we're dealing with. And we ask for discernment for the doctors and wisdom in diagnosis and in treatment. We ask for patience for all those that are involved to do the things they need to do to get healthy. And for all those around them to keep them safe and to be an encouragement through these challenging times. Father, we pray for our veterans, and we pray for the freedom that we enjoy in this country through the military and through those who have served our country so that we can be free. And Father, we pray that the veterans program next week will be an honor to them and glorifying to you in the presentation of the gospel and in the recognition of those who have served. And Father, we pray over the donations, that each one of us, you will lead each one of us as you see fit, and that we will be open to graciously giving, as you lead us, to this congregation and to this church and to this ministry. We thank you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Let's see. So if y'all were not online this morning for the 9:30 class, I covered the some of the 34 promises that we are given at salvation, and that was in order to put us in a position of looking in 2 Peter and going a little bit deeper in that particular area in 2 Peter. We are going to pick up today 2 Peter 1. I'm going to back up a little bit, 1:4. So when I was teaching last week, as I looked around the room, I had a couple of looks. The interesting part about being only online is, with the exception of Brian and Julie, is if Brian and Julie get it, then I'm going to assume everybody got it, because I won't get the looks like I got last week where I got a couple of head nods like this, like, what'd you say? So we're going to back up a little bit. No, not from Brian and Julie, from others. They're not in attendance today because I'm looking at a lot of chairs. But I'm going to back up a little bit and see if I can elaborate and or clarify some things that I said last week that I want to make sure that we're all comfortable with as we move forward. So we're going to back up to 2 Peter 1:4. I'm going to touch on a couple of points, and then we'll pick up in 1:5 and move forward from there. So please open your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, Through these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. So, a couple of things. First of all, we just went through the magnificent promises, the 34 things that are provided us to salvation. If you missed that and you want to know what we're talking about here, please catch it on YouTube. It's posted now, and would love for you to listen in on that. The magnificent promises. How are we reconciled to God? Because without that reconciliation, we can't participate in the divine nature. But because of the things that God did for us at salvation, promises to every one of us, and they are magnificent, and they should be precious to every single one of us. We should spend time regularly in reviewing those things so that they're at the front of our mind. Don't be apathetic about the things that God did for us at salvation. You may be a believer for the last 50 years. Don't forget about the things that he did for us at salvation. Don't take them for granted. And so spend a few minutes. I ask that you listen to the lesson from this morning, not because I taught it, but because of the fact there's some really amazing things to be paying attention to. And it says, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, the promises provided to us at salvation, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Christ was the perfect example of humanity partaking in the divine nature in his hypostatic union. Now, please do not hear this as we are trying to strive for divinity. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is in his hypostatic union, Christ set his deity aside and was one, obedient to the voice of the Spirit, right? And for the church age believer, what's the voice of the Spirit? The voice of the Spirit is the Word of God, the Bible, understanding, listening, understanding what it is, right? Obedient to the voice of the Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit in his work, so the leading of the Spirit. And he executed the plan of God, done through the power of the Spirit. His miracles were not done through his deity. His miracles were done through the power of the Spirit, the same Spirit that is inside of us. The filling of the Spirit allows us to have divine power in us. And so he executed the plan of God through the power of the Spirit. In his hypostatic union, setting aside his deity, in his humanity, he listened to the Word of God, the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, and he executed by the power of the Spirit. The exact same situation that we have for us. Sometimes we don't think about that. When we're trying to be like Christ, we go out there and try to do good stuff like Christ. We need to be like Christ, and everything we do is done through God. It's done through the power of the Spirit. So this, as partakers of the divine nature, is who we are. We are like Christ in that we have these same things. This is our identity in Christ. And this is who the world should see. They should see Christ in us. We have Christ in us, and we are in Christ, and the world should see Christ through us. So as we move on then, so those couple of points there, I wanted to make sure that we're clear. As we move into 2 Peter 1:5, we start to pick this up. It says, so now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. 2 Peter 2:5. And some of you might have, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. And so, in this particular case, if you had add to your faith, I want to make sure that this comes across clearly. Supplement. Add to your faith. Supplement. Epikoraiago, which is an aorist active imperative. Now, for y'all that go crazy every time we start talking about the Greek, I'm not telling you this because I knew what that meant. I'm telling you this because it's important from the standpoint of an aorist active imperative. It means the action that the verb is describing is the result of something that happened in the past, and it gives rise to an action that you are commanded to take in the present. A lot being said for this. The reader who is a believer, through faith, which happened in the past, is a partaker, jointly belongs to the divine nature. Because of this reality, they are to supplement this faith with goodness, moral excellence. Through our faith, we are to supplement the promises provided us to at salvation with these things. We do it through faith. So I think here's where I had a couple of looks last week, where adding to our faith. When you say adding to our faith, I'm not talking about in order to execute on something that we need to do something with our faith. We provide the all diligence. There's a personal commitment to doing the things that God says for us to do. And that commitment requires study. It requires prayer. It requires the filling of the Spirit. It requires faith. And these things, through these things, in our faith, supplement these promises with additional things that come through our faith. Through our faith, we are to supplement the promises provided to us at salvation, or add to them additional promises, additional blessings given to us by God. So rather than supplement, we should be saying supplement through your faith goodness. On the basis of our faith in Christ, we jointly belong to the divine nature, the filling of the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit, we're indwelt by Christ, we are indwelt by the Father. We are in Christ, positionally. And so, through all these, we have the divine nature. We are commanded through the same faith that we were saved to supplement our lives with goodness. So what is goodness? And I know I covered these last week, but it kind of makes the flow, and it kind of rolls into the next thing that we're talking about here, so I want to make sure we're all on the same page. What is goodness? Mark 10:18, and Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. In this passage, as we've talked about, this is where the man came up to Jesus asking him how to obtain eternal life. And Jesus knew that this man was asking about his human goodness. What were the human things he needed to do in order to obtain eternal life? How hard did he have to work? What was the list? Give me my list of do's and I'll go do them, and once I've done them, I have eternal life. Jesus knew where the man was coming from. He was coming from a position of, if I work hard enough, I will obtain eternal life. And so when Jesus saw this, he corrected the man. He did not deny his deity, but he pointed him to the Father where goodness is found. So the same word used in 2 Peter 1:3 called us by his own glory and goodness. And so Jesus knew the man was asking about human goodness, and Jesus pointed him to God's goodness. Only those things done through faith in the Spirit, through God, of God, are good. So, 2 Peter 1:3 called us by his own glory and goodness. This is ariete, properly virtue or moral excellence. So this is where we're defining what he's talking about by goodness. Moral excellence, which is displayed, which will enrich our lives. Our lives should reflect moral excellence. Even the newest believer, through the power of the Spirit, should display moral excellence in their lives. This is the if we stop and logically think about this for a moment, if our whole life is, you know, we've believed and then we turn back to sin and we live our lives in accordance with our flesh and with the ways of the world and put aside the moral goodness, the moral excellence, how are we going to grow in the Word of God? How are we going to continue to build ourselves into the likeness of Christ? I said that completely wrong. How are we going to be able to be transformed into the likeness of Christ if the way we're operating or the way we're doing managing our life is not in moral excellence? So 1 John 3:6, no one who remains in Him, in Jesus Christ, sins continually. No one who sins continually has seen Him or knows Him. So this is what we're talking about last week when we talked about add to or supplement through faith to the promises that God has provided us, the precious and magnificent promises. Add to that moral excellence. How do we live our lives? What should be in our souls? Moral excellence. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, and to goodness, moral excellence, knowledge. Here he uses the word gnosis, the Greek word gnosis. This is knowledge that's gleaned from the first-hand personal experience connecting theory to application. This is knowledge that's been applied. Application knowledge. And it's gained by a direct relationship. So, putting this into context, the study of the Word of God meshed with applying the Word of God to your life. So add to moral excellence knowledge, gnosis, the application, study and the application of the Word of God to your life. We must study in the power of the Spirit in order to know what to apply. We can't do this on our own. We all know that. I don't know if we know that. All know that, but we should know that. We cannot study and apply the Word of God in our own power. We do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to put this into context for a second as we stop and we, you know, pat ourselves on the back for coming to church on Sunday morning and then, you know, watching a good Hallmark church movie on Friday evening. In a human perspective of adding to knowledge, right, in the application of knowledge, in the human perspective, it takes 10,000 hours for someone to become an expert in a subject. That's what the experts say, right? Which is funny. Apparently, they've studied this for 10,000 hours. But that being said, 10,000 hours to become an expert in something. 10,000 hours of study. And so if we study 1 hour a day, 2 times per week, it will take us 96 years to become an expert in something. Why do I tell us that? The point is not to become an expert, an academic expert in the Bible. But if from a human perspective, it takes 10,000 hours to master something. Think how long and how much studying and how much time devoted to the Word of God we should all be applying to our lives. There's infinitely more to learn as God enlightens us. But the point is to study in the power of the Spirit and apply these things to our lives. It's not just academic knowledge. It's studying and applying these things to our lives that affects a change in our lives. So suffice it to say that the daily intake of the Word, like the daily intake of food, is the foundation for growing in spiritual maturity. We must apply this knowledge to the power of the Spirit to affect change, physical and spiritual change in our lives. A couple of examples. Knowing that God has forgiven us of our sins, but carrying the guilt of past sins is not applying the Word of God. So y'all that are carrying around this heavy baggage of sin, the stuff that you did in the past, set it aside. God's taking care of it. Go back to the promises. He's unlimited atonement. All sins have been paid for. Don't do it again. That's not a license to go do it all over again, but stop carrying the guilt. Take that knowledge of knowing that the sins are paid for and apply it to your life and giving those things that are weighing you down over to Him. Knowing that God has a perfect plan for your life, but stressing over finances or school or success, it's not applying the Word of God. God has the perfect plan for your life. We go do what we can in the power of the Spirit, in applying all diligence, and we leave the results up to God. We don't stress about these things. Apply that to your life. It's so relieving to have the weight of the world lifted off your shoulders and given over to God. His shoulders are a lot bigger than ours, folks. Give it up. Knowing that God can and will provide all spiritual blessings and continuing to live in our own flesh nature is not applying the Word of God. If we think, I heard something this morning about grace as I was coming in here. If we think that the grace and promises that God has given us is designed to restrict us or limit us or it's fun crusher, you know, oh, well, if I do this God stuff, it's just going to be, you know, it's all restrictive. And it's not. God gives us the direction and the things He wants us to do for our glory and for Christ's glory and the riches that He just pours upon us. And I heard an example as I was coming in this morning, and I apologize, I don't know who it was. It's from the Dallas Baptist Church, actually. First Dallas Baptist, I think, so credit where credit is due. But he was talking about going up to the top of Pikes Peak. And I'm going to use a different example because when we were traveling a number of years ago, Nick was 5 or 6 at the time, and we were in the Grand Canyon, and we were walking down the Grand Canyon, and then we were walking back up. And I don't know if y'all have ever been to the Grand Canyon and taken the hike down. There are not a series of guardrails, wheelchair ramps, non-skids, and other assorted protective things in the Grand Canyon. There are a few places probably where people have fallen off of them before. There are a few places where they have guardrails. Now we have a 6-year-old, and he's running around on these paths. You know, the mules are trying to drive by or walk by, and he's running around. And for us to have just graciously allowed him to do whatever he wanted to do, that's not grace. What if he goes to the edge and goes sprinting right over the edge and down he goes? That's not grace. God puts barriers up for us. He puts restrictions on us not to prevent us from having fun, to be joyful. He provides all of that. But He gives us the things in life, that everything we need to have perfect enjoyment of life, regardless of circumstances, and He gives us the guardrails to keep us from plummeting into death, to plummeting back to the slave market of sin that we talked about this morning. So, as we know, if we know that God can and will provide all spiritual blessings, but yet we continue to live our lives in our own flesh nature and doing the things that we want to do, that's not applying the Word of God. Knowledge is not only the understanding and academic knowledge, but it's also the application of. So the impact of intake implying the Word of God to every aspect of our life over time results in epinosis. The term that he used here is gnosis. And I know many of you have studied this before, but the term used that Peter was using in this verse was gnosis, which is the application, the study, the knowledge, and application. Epinosis is the result over time of continued application of the Word of God to your life. Epinosis is full discernment, an intimate, personal understanding of something, and in this case, God. Peter actually identifies this in verse 2, when it says results in which the epinosis, the intimate, personal understanding of who God is, results in multiplying of grace and peace in our lives. That's the introduction that Peter used as he came into this chapter, or as he opened this epistle. So, Peter is then going to go on into the next chapter to warn us against false teachers. Specifically in relationship to knowledge, he warns about Gnosticism, right? And so, what did the Gnostics boast about? They had boasted about applied knowledge. The problem is, kind of like faith, where faith is based on who that faith is in makes it valuable, i.e. if our faith is in Christ versus our faith is in ourselves, our faith is in the world, our faith is in something besides Christ, there's no value to that. But there's absolute value to faith in Christ. It's who the faith is in that becomes the question. In this particular case, the Gnostics boasted about applied value gained through their own personal spiritual experiences. And it is and was a disaster. But you always see a lot of this in teaching today. I want to experience God. How many churches are out there experiencing God? My knowledge of God is how I feel about it. What a horrible thing. God doesn't care how you feel about His Word. He doesn't care how you feel about the content of His Word. He's God. He's the one that decides what the content is. And then there are those who will pervert God's Word to align to their own thoughts and desires. The prosperity gospel. Moral relativism. Both of these things are running rampant through our world today. Knowledge is only as reliable as the truth it is derived from. I.e., the knowledge of God from the Word of God is based on the relationship of God to His Word and the revelation of His Word through His own Spirit. God's Word is truth. God is truth. God, the Spirit, wrote this. Thus, it is truth. The knowledge of God based on how we experience God related to how it makes us feel is not truth. This is where moral relativism comes in from today. Truth is what you feel is truth. I am sure that there are many a 16-year-old boy that the truth was they were absolutely in love with that 16-year-old girl because of the way they felt about it. That wasn't true. We all do these things. We all have to be very careful about justifying what we turn God's Word into in order to relate to our feelings about it. It's a dangerous path. The world, Satan, our own flesh are great deceivers. Truth is in the Word of God. Truth is in Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay, so with that being said, supplement in verse 5. For this very reason, supplement, make every effort to add to your faith and goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. Knowledge. The study of the Word of God through the power of the Spirit and applying that Word to your life. Missed a note. This is important. So what Peter is calling for here is to add knowledge of the Word of God through the study of the Word of God and applying that to effect change in your life, all done through the power of the Spirit. This leads to an intimate personal relationship with the Creator of all things. That's our objective. And so moving on from there, as we move into verse 6 here, it says, and to knowledge, self-control. We've all seen this before. It's the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit, the proceeding out from within oneself, but not by oneself. Self-control. For the believer, it can only be accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God. Faith in God gives us the ability to have self-control. I'll say that for a second. And then to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance of faith. Remaining under endurance, steadfastness, especially as God enables the believer to remain under the challenges he allots in life. God allows things to happen in our life, and we are to rejoice in our tribulations, right? We've talked about this many a times, Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance of our faith. Through the power of the Spirit, we have self-control, and self-control, we have perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. Someone's inner response to the things of God, which shows itself in reverence. Deep respect. These things compound on each other. God gives us all of these promises through the study of the Word of God, through applying the knowledge that we obtain through the Word of God to our lives. It affects change. We have moral excellence. We can have self-control through the fruit of the Spirit, through faith in the Holy Spirit. We have perseverance of faith, again, through applying our faith to the Holy Spirit, and we receive, over the course of time, godliness, a deep respect, a reverence. I'll use it, in this you can hear the reverence, Psalm 31. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have performed for those who take refuge in you, before the sons of mankind. Man. How awesome is that? How great is your goodness? Regardless of the circumstances, how great is your goodness, God, which you have stored up for those who fear you, those who have a deep reverence for you, which you have performed for those who take refuge in you. That's where we put our refuge. We put our refuge in God before the sons of mankind. Let the sons of mankind try to figure out what to do with us. As a Christian, we put our refuge, our deep reverence, our respect in God. We're called to do that. So, looking at 1 Peter 1:5 and into 1:6, because of the promises of God given to us at salvation and all He has done and set aside for you, actively pursue growth from your point of salvation to maturity by being of high moral character, growing in your knowledge and application of the Word, maintaining self-control and persevering in your faith, all done by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. These things will result in deep reverence for God. Now, these things were all inward characteristics that are transforming us to the likeness of Christ. Christ was of high moral character. I think we would all agree. In fact, I'm going to assume we agree with all of these. Christ was of high moral character. He was committed to the will of His Father. He knew and taught the Word of God. In fact, He was the Word of God. He always maintained self-control. He persevered in His faith and His Father's plan, even to the point of death. And He had a deep respect for His Father and His Father's will. You can see where doing these things through the power of the Spirit, we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. Then he moves on, Peter moves on from the inward-looking things to the outward-looking things. 2 Peter 1:7. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Peter is moving from the inward to the outward as we look at the things that are related to God. Mutual affection, love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. We are to love one another the brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all, we probably make each other really mad, especially when you look at a Christian who's doing things that you know are not in alignment with the Word of God. But we are to love them. And we talk about gently restoring and loving and being a part of their being brought back to Christ, brought back to God, brought back to the Word of God. We are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it also says in verse 7, the mutual affection, love. Love, agape, divine love, love from the fruit of the Spirit. Here's a good time to talk about the election. I avoided it when we started, if you guys didn't realize that. That was intentional because I wanted to talk about it right here. Love is from the fruit of the Spirit. We are to stand firm in the truth. Paul says, all I know is Christ and Him crucified. We are to restore those that disagree or with the truth gently. We are to bring people to Christ. And God is in control. So as we look at what's going on with the election, some of us are very angry and probably want to strike out, depressed, mad, want to do something, pray. In the power of the Spirit, pray for our country. Some of us are elated, but yet we hate everybody who disagreed with us. Pray. Pray that God will give us the ability to understand. We'll have mutual affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The amount of absolute hatred that is coming from believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll just use social media because that's where you see it, right? But it's on the news as well. But the absolute hatred from people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to other believers who disagree with them, no, we ought to be ashamed. Where in the world is that in an election going to bring anybody to Christ? I hate you because you voted for Trump. I hate you because you voted for Biden. Oh, let's all go to church together. No. Stop. It's craziness. Love is from the fruit of the Spirit. When you find yourself hating the person across from you because they voted for somebody else, stop and pray and find out, are you filled with the Spirit? And this is for Christians. Y'all non-Christians, bring them to Christ, but they're going to do what they want to do because they can hate everybody. And this is to the Christians. This is to the church. Love is from the fruit of the Spirit. Mutual affection, love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. That is part of the transformation into the likeness of Christ. Stand firm in the truth. Never back down from the truth. But you don't go beating somebody over the head with the truth in order to bring them to Christ. You don't hate them in the truth to bring them to Christ. And restore gently. Restore in kindness. Restore in love. Again, the fruit of the Spirit. If we're running around angry, throwing things at our TV, putting nasty notes out on social media, running people down, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not being displayed. God is in control. And here's my last point on this. God is in control. And we were talking about it a few minutes ago before this class started. If you look back through all of the history of Israel in the Old Testament, who were God's chosen people, our God's chosen people, it was His chosen nation. He, many a times, allowed a truly atrocious kings to lead Israel. Why? Because they needed the discipline to be able to be restored back to Him. That's all we care about. Y'all, I care about freedom. I care about this country. I love this country. But it is about Christ. Stand firm in the truth. Be filled with the Spirit. And lead those back to Christ. That is what restores this country. That is where it is. I'm done preaching. No, I'm not. But I'm done being quite so dramatic about it. This path of spiritual maturity starts with faith. And this is really cool, y'all. It starts with faith and reaches the summit in divine love. Say that again. The path of spiritual maturity, and every time you see these things, the path of spiritual maturity starts with faith and reaches the summit in divine love. It's all done through faith, but it reaches its summit in divine love. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast in, but do not have love, I gain nothing. The divine love of God is the demonstration of the maturity of the believer. It is the outward representation of the divine nature. Let that sink in for a second. The purpose is not knowledge or self-control or joy. These are blessings on the path to spiritual maturity. The purpose is the glorification of God in man's demonstration of divine love, and we get rewarded eternally for it. Divine love. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have all kinds of challenges in our country. And over the next few months, the next few years, the next who knows how long. Our job as Christians is to grow and to express the divine love of God to the world. Bring those to Christ. Bring those who have fallen away from Christ back to Christ and to the Word of God and to the spiritual maturity so that we can be rewarded with the riches beyond imagination in eternity with Christ. God set it up. God does it all. All we got to do is trust Him. Verse 8. For if these qualities are in you and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For these qualities, these things that we just talked about, the fruit of the Spirit, are yours, demonstrated in the believer and continue to be demonstrated in abundance. Then you will be neither useless nor unfruitful. Useless, in this case, idle, of things which have no profit, and no profit will be derived. Unfruitful. Spend your life, living your life according to your own will, and we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be ashamed. We will be saved, but it's not fruitful. Unfruitful refers to any thought not originated in power by the Lord, not born of faith. Anything not done in faith is unfruitful. In fact, it's sin. By definition, all decisions that are not born of faith are sin, Romans 14:23, which automatically renders them eternally fruitless, a waste. This is the case regardless of how impressive or acceptable they are to the eyes of the world. This is the world that we live in today. Let's run around and be as fruitful as possible in the eyes of the world. That's not what God asks us to do. The world's going to think we're crazy when we start running around and loving people that hate us. They're going to think we're crazy when we cling to our moral excellence, when we cling to our Bibles, right? And we build our lives on what the Bible says. They're going to think we're nuts. In a world of moral relativism, anything I feel, anything I want, anything, I can just do it. When you say, no, God says that's not right, they're going to think we're crazy. Don't build your world, don't build the fruit from the eyes of the world. You will see results in your life resulting from the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And again, we talked about this a moment ago in epinosis. The Greek word for epinosis in verse 2, here on earth we know only part of it, but that imperfect knowledge which we have in the world should be ever growing, increasing in fullness and distinctness. 2 Peter 3:18, we'll get into that, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Say that again. More than that, I count all things to be loss all things of the world to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. We talked about this morning. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How cool would that be to have full spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Nowhere in here does it say anything about an election. We stand firm in what we believe. We stand firm in the truth. And we put our faith in the Lord. God's will always prevails. The point of growing in these spiritual characteristics is, if these things be in you and abound, they will both cause you not to be barren and unfruitful in your profession of Christianity and faith in Christ. The exercises of divine characteristics, the fruit, are the best evidences of our being made partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Do we act like it? Do we act like it through the power of the Spirit? Verse 9. Excuse me. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. The born-again believer, looking only to the self-focused gratification of the flesh in this world, misses the whole point of future inheritance and the joy of progressing to maturity. Living in a perpetual carnal nature, the non-stop living in my own sin as a believer, demonstrates that we have forgotten our fallen state, the price paid for our redemption, and the gift of righteousness given to us by God. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And I think we'll probably finish right here. Therefore, in this particular verse, therefore is referencing that this can go two ways. You can be useless, blind, and short-sighted, or you can walk in the divine nature and produce fruit. Choose to be diligent. Act fervently. Fully apply yourself to accomplish all that God assigns to you. We do it through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it through our faith in the Spirit. Be fully applied to this. Make this your cause. Make certain, make effective, make it fruitful, productive, and useful. As believers, we are elect, we are chosen, we are positionally in Christ, which we talked about as one of the amazing blessings that we receive, these from at the point of salvation. So we are elect, we're chosen, and we are positionally in Christ. We are also called. We are called to an assignment. There is a purpose for us being on this earth. We will be required to work in executing the will of God. We are given the power to work through the power of the Spirit, just as Christ did in his humanity. He leaned on the power of the Spirit and was able to accomplish miracles and just amazing things. We have that same power inside of us. So when we don't think we can get it done, trust the Lord. It's going to get done if we trust Him. We will be required to work in executing the will of God. We have the endurance, strength, and power to complete this work through the power of the Holy Spirit. We engage this power, this strength, and endurance just by believing that He will provide it. Faith. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. That's the first part of verse 10. The second part, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. What does it mean, you will never stumble? James 3:2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect man, able to rein the whole body as well. James says we all stumble. And here Peter says, don't stumble. You will not stumble. This does not mean we will never sin. Only Jesus is sinless. This means you will continue to progress in your spiritual growth. If you continue to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called through the power of the Spirit, intake of Bible doctrine, application of Bible doctrine to your life, the continued growth of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance of your faith, mutual love, and love for others, you will not stumble. You will continue to grow in your spiritual growth. You will continue to present yourself before the Lord in a manner worthy. Verse 11, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of God and the Savior and our Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In what way? In the things that we just talked about, progressing in your spiritual growth, practicing these things, continuing to do these things, the entrance. So we're going to go from in this way. In doing these things, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Eisodos, in this particular case, the entrance, an entrance, a means or place of entering. The usage in this particular case, entering or a physical entrance, is used in Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. It's the same word that's used here. So, entrance into the holy place in that particular reference. The use here is the act of entering. Your progress will be continuous, and your entrance into the future kingdom of glory will be triumphant. I want to enter the kingdom of heaven in a triumphant manner. Those who are growing in grace and abounding in the work of the Lord shall have an abundant entrance into the joy of our Lord, even the everlasting kingdom where Christ reigns, and they will reign with him forever and ever. I'll finish right here. We will receive a wonderful welcome home. As we think about all the challenges, all the persecution, all the things that we think we are giving up because of our applied knowledge and our things that God says, do these things because I've set them aside for you to do. If we do these things, if we're faithful and we commit to doing these things, we will receive a wonderful welcome home. If we are here when the rapture comes around, we will have joy at the rapture. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, remain in him, that when he may be manifested, we may have boldness and may not be ashamed before him in his presence. To stand before the Lord and not be ashamed. Joy at the rapture. Joy in death. The stoning of Stephen. Acts 7:54. Now when they heard this, the Pharisees and those, Saul, they were infuriated and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Death was on its way. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of his Father. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What a way to go. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of what's to come. Looking up into the skies, the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, to see the full glory of God and Jesus. What an amazing picture. Continue to be faithful. Continue to study. Continue to apply. Continue to grow to maturity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you provided us your word. We ask, Father, that you will continue to give us the commitment in our faith, commitment in our prayers, commitment in our study. Father, it comes from you. All we have to do is ask. Father, I pray for our congregation. I pray for those listening, whether it's today or in the future, that the Holy Spirit will just speak through this message, make it extremely clear what you want us to know, and that will give us the confidence to be able to continue to grow to maturity. We love you. We thank you. We are in awe of all that you do for us. In Christ's name, amen.